Hello, welcome back to Divide It with Jill. I'm Jill. So if you're new here, I talk all about TV, music, movies, pop culture, and a lot of divided moments. If you don't know what a divided moment is, it's basically anything that kind of like affects me very deeply, shocks me, surprises me, confuses me, kind of like a what just happened moment. But we'll get to the divided moment of this episode later. If you're a recurring listener, welcome back. So there's a couple of things that happened this past week that I need to share with you. One of them is Ariana Grande's new album dropped, Miss Eternal Sunshine. It's giving breakup album, it's giving divorce album. No, but like everyone is in their feelings after Ariana dropped this album. It's giving sad girl era. It's funny because there's two types of people listening to this. It's either like you're vibing and you can't really relate, or you just went through a breakup and this album is like healing you and you're crying, screaming on the floor. Everyone at some point has had similar situations to what Ariana Grande is saying in the album. So for the most part, everyone can relate. It's funny because I saw a TikTok recently. It was like a skit this guy did, and he was like in a robe pretending to be his girlfriend, and he's like staring out the window, and the caption on the video is like, POV, your girlfriend of 5 years listening to the new Ariana Grande album. Oh my gosh. Honestly, this album is all I've been listening to. If you've been listening to the podcast or follow me on like any socials, you know that like all I've been listening to lately is just Jonas Brothers. What am I saying? I've been listening to the Jonas Brothers since like middle school, but like as of late, because their new album dropped like last year, that's all I listened to. But now, since Ariana dropped this one, this is currently all I've been listening to, and it's just so good. I love Ariana Grande. So one thing about me is that I love Ariana Grande. She has very mixed reviews. You either like love her or you're just like not a fan. There's a lot of statements and stories about her in the media and people have a lot of opinions, but I've always loved her music. I saw her live one time and it was this like Christmas like show or something. It was a really long time ago. I don't even think it was like a full show. Not remembering. Divide it. It was like a free show. Ariana Grande listening to this. I never did that. But yes, I saw her one time and it was so good. I never saw her on like an actual tour though, which I'm hoping to see her at some point if she decides to tour again. But I remember my ringtone in college, I kid you not, was Ariana Grande's Into You. That song is everything. Oh baby, look what you started. Hey, the temperature's rising. Oh my God, how can you not like that song? Come on. I listened to that song on repeat. Like, ask anyone that I know. I woke up every morning to that song. I was actually on a spring break trip to Madrid with my two friends from college, and my ringtone was Ariana Grande, and that is what woke us up every morning with our terrible jet lag. Oh my gosh, they're probably sick of that song now because of me. Or maybe they love it. All of her albums, though, have never been bad. Like, if you think about it, Yours Truly, My Everything, Dangerous Woman, Sweetener, Thank You, Next, her Christmas songs, bangers, all of them. Pop music needed these bops, and I will stand on that hill. And then now Miss Eternal Sunshine, are you kidding me? It's fantastic. I have no notes, but I think my favorites, though, on this album are Bye, Supernatural, We Can't Be Friends, and I Wish I Hated You. Those are my faves right now. Oh my gosh, the first time I listened to Bye, I was like, this is it. This is gonna be my favorite song on the album right now. And then I listened to Supernatural, I was like, wait. But honestly, the entire album is a hit. Like, she doesn't miss with her songs. And then she has Wicked in November. Wow, this is Ariana Grande's year, baby. This is it. I'm so excited. Also, Ben Platt announced yesterday that his album is coming in May. What? I'm not ready because Bridgerton's coming out in May. Ben Platt's album's coming out in May. And The Idea of You with Nicholas Galtazin and Anne Hathaway is coming out in May. What's happening? Why are all these hits coming out in May? I'm going to be so overwhelmed in May. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be so overwhelmed. But speaking of The Idea of You, the trailer just dropped. I actually talked about this in a previous podcast episode, and I was talking about like how they came out with these like pictures, but now the official trailer is out, and let me tell you something. Oh my gosh. It is so good. Okay? First of all, if you don't know what The Idea of You is, it's a rom-com, and the story follows a love affair between a divorced mother Sloane and the lead singer of the hottest boy band on the planet, Hayes Campbell. It's giving this is the closest we'll get to a One Direction reunion. And you know what? They played a song in the trailer, and I was like, wait a second. I need it on Spotify right now. I need the full song. I'm really excited for this movie to be released. It's going to be on Prime Video, and I'm ready. I did make a reaction video on TikTok. I was actually freaking out. I was freaking out. It was giving Wattpad era. They look just so good in this trailer. Anna's stunning. Nicholas is just hot. Honestly, I have loved everything Nicholas Galtazine has been in, and he just plays this like romance genre really, really well. And I don't know. It's kind of giving, you know how we all loved Hugh Grant in romance movies and then like Matthew McConaughey. It's kind of giving that. Maybe Nicholas Galtazine is the new rom-com king. You know what I mean? Another fictional boyfriend added to the roster. Also, Anne Hathaway is just fantastic. Like, I love her. Love both of them. Really an unexpected pairing. I feel like this movie is going to give what it's supposed to give. No, but like the chemistry looks insane. And don't even get me started when she was like, I'm too old for you. I literally freaked out. And then he was like, no, you're not. But it was like the way it was delivered. I was like, help, help, nurse, nurse. I put my hands up. I was going absolutely feral. I literally can't. I'm really excited. I have been loving rom-coms lately. Well, that's a lie. I've been loving rom-coms since forever. Everything here is spoilers, so just be aware of that. A lot of the podcast episodes this season, I have been talking a lot about romance. So we're going to keep the romance going. I have more fictional boyfriends to discuss with you. The first romance show I want to tell you about is Artful Dodger. So many people were commenting to watch them on my videos, and I was like, okay, I'm really intrigued. I love when people suggest things in the comments. Keep doing that. If you come across any of my videos. The Artful Dodger. It's set in the 1850s in Australia. Jack Dawkins is formerly a Navy surgeon. He establishes himself as a respected young surgeon in the colony. However, an old acquaintance, Fagin, resurfaces, forcing Jack, once a London-based pickpocket known as Artful Dodger, back into the life of crime. These characters are from Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, and this show really has it all. It has suspense, betrayal, intense romance between Jack and Belle. Come on, who doesn't love a good romance between two characters? The chemistry is amazing. Absolutely loved Miss Maya Mitchell and Thomas Brodie Sangster in this. Also, can we talk about how Thomas looks so young? I feel like he's like Benjamin Button. Like, he just has such a young face. You know what I mean? Like, do you remember watching him in Love Actually? Oh, he was so good in that. He was really, really good. But yeah, what an unexpected pairing, Maya and Thomas. I didn't think to like put them two in like a show. But they had so many amazing moments. And there was this scene where they were in the alley and he goes, is this all right? And he checks her leg. Oh my. And then there was this other part where they were in the bed and he checks her pulse. You know, it's the small moments, babe, that got me. And then they give you these love confessions. Jack said to Belle, when I wake up in the mornings, all I can think about is you. Belle, I cannot fashion a life without you in it. Oh my God. And she's like, are you telling me you love me, Jack Dawkins? And then she tells him, she's dying. I can't. And then he says, if you even feel half the way I feel about you. And she's like, I don't. I feel it 10 times more. Stop it right now. Oh my God. There was just this, like, this entire sequence gave you this love confession while breaking your heart at the same time, because Belle confesses to him that she's like dying, and it was just like a full moment. I was panicking. And then she wants Jack to do the surgery on her. Now that's romance, baby. That's trust. Obsessed. Absolutely obsessed. And then Jack went to her house and then saw that she passed out. And then he performs the surgery with a gun to his head because the family and everyone thinks that he's gonna kill her. And the family, like, doesn't believe that she's actually sick, but babe, she's sick. And then he gets arrested and then runs back to the hospital to check on her to see if she was alive. What? He risked his life going to go check on her. They're not making it like him these days. Where can we find a guy like this in real life, babe? I was holding my breath the entire time. Like, for a second, I really thought it was over for her. I really did. Don't underestimate Jack. I should have known. But he really performed a surgery that has never been done before, all while helping Fagin plot to steal. Like, I need a season two. Where is season two? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to Fagin? I really thought Fagin was going to betray him, though, for real. But it ended up being all right. And then I kind of want to see what's going to happen with the parents. I'm glad the captain died, though. He was really getting on my nerves. But, you know, for the plot. The plot just, you know, really had so much. Not just, like, the love story. Every character was impactful. And it was overall just a great show. Like, 10 out of 10. And it's short. It was, like, 8 episodes on Hulu. You can, like, binge watch it in, like, a day. But, yeah, let me know if you have seen the show and what you think. Okay, so the next show I'm going to tell you about is Upgraded on Amazon. Listen, this was cute, simple, straight to the point, easily digestible. Camila Mendes and Archie, great chemistry. I want to point out, though, the scene they had outside the hotel where he, like, grabs her arm and he's like, you need to pay me back for the shoes. And she's like, you're done. And then they have, like, a moment. Stop. That entire scene is just wow. I was gagged. Oh my gosh, when he was saying, are you going to invite me inside? And she's like, excuse me, that's very forward. What happened to your manners, Downton Abbey? Ah! And then he goes, I'm more of a Bridgerton man myself. Shonda? Is Shonda in the room with us? Like, what? Great reference. Obsessed with that. Obsessed. And then there was this other scene where they were, like, in the gallery and he was, like, looking at her, like, jealous. I was like, not this, babe. Oh my gosh. But this movie is a rom-com. It's about an aspiring art intern who gets invited on a last-minute work trip to London. Anna gets upgraded to first class, and then she meets Will, who mistakes Anna for her boss, Claire. The drama, babe. The drama. No, because suddenly I need to be on a flight, specifically business class. And then I would like to also add really handsome British man next to me. Thank you. If the universe is listening, that would be really nice. It was really cute. I would definitely check this out. Another rom-com I saw recently is First Daughter and Chasing Liberty. Okay, so these two have, like, the same plot, the same trope. And I didn't know I would love a Secret Service agent First Daughter trope. Like, I did not know this existed. And I'm kind of obsessed now. So The First Daughter is about Samantha McKenzie. Katie Holmes is in it. And she's the daughter of the president. And she arrives at college with a group of Secret Service agents. Samantha just, like, hates, like, being with all these secret agents. She, like, kind of just wants to have, like, a normal student lifestyle. But babe, that cannot be the case. You know what I mean? So her father agrees to recall the agents, but secretly she assigns James, an undercover agent, to pose as a student. Pause. Because why did I just find out that the guy that plays James is the dad in My Life with the Walter Boys? What? First of all, he was so cute in this movie. Like, hi, I'm in love with you. I mean, he still looks good now, but in this, amazing. 10 out of 10. So they fall in love. Their romance is jeopardized when Samantha learns James's true identity. And OMG, when I tell you my mouth dropped when she found out that he is the secret agent and he was like, Lucky Charm secured. Oh my gosh, I was so shook. You know what? This is the divided moment for this episode. That entire sequence and everything just, like, leading up to that moment and, like, the way he, like, put her in the car, that entire thing just got me. It got me. I was gooped and gagged. I was like, what is going on? And then the same thing kind of happens in Chasing Liberty. So in that film, Anna Foster, her code name is Liberty, again, the daughter of the president of the United States, she also just can't deal with the Secret Service. She's, like, over it. She's like, I can't live a normal life type thing. Like, she goes on these dates and it's like just too much because like the whole Secret Service agent team is there, and it's just hard. Okay, I don't know if this is like an unpopular opinion or something, but I would low-key love to have like Secret Service agents all the time and like protecting me, you know what I mean? But then also I can see like the privacy aspect, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just kind of like want to be by yourself and not draw a lot of attention when you're out in public. So I can see like that part of it. But also at the same time, I'm like, I would kind of love to feel like safe, you know? Let me know if you agree or if you disagree. And so she goes with her father on a state visit to Prague. So she ends up escaping the secret agents and she runs into this British babe named Ben. Ben is it, okay? That is a fictional boyfriend, baby. He was really doing it for me. He is so cute. And then there was actually this particular scene where he was like looking her up and down and I was like, stop. If he looks at me like that, I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground. I'm gone. I'm not here in my body. The way he was looking at her was not in like a weird, I just got the ick kind of way. It was like a flirty, hot, cute moment. You know what I mean? Throughout the film, she embarks on this romantic journey across Europe with him, but there's something that she doesn't know about Ben. Surprise! He's a Secret Service agent. I feel like the way she found out, though, was a little bit less shock value as first daughter, because I think we as the audience already knew that he was a Secret Service agent. So when she finds out, I did feel still a little shock for her, but it was definitely like less intense, but it was still impactful. There was definitely more plot, in my opinion, in Chasing Liberty. You get to see them, you know, build their chemistry and just showing all of their adventures they go on together, I feel like was needed. And I love that they had like a little love confession moment. There was this part where he was like, I adored kissing you in Venice. He's so bloody unhinged just being near her. They have amazing chemistry. I also loved the storyline with the two other secret agents. That was really, really cute. Obsessed. I loved this film. This is the kind of film you can like rewatch multiple times and just like never get tired of it. But yeah, both films were very lighthearted, great chemistry, great leads. 10 out of 10, recommend. Another rom-com I saw recently was Wedding Planner. I love early 2000s rom-coms. Like, are you kidding me? No one's doing it like them. The early 2000s girls and guys. I honestly can't believe I've never seen this movie before. I've seen Matthew McConaughey in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is a classic. That movie is just like top five favorite rom-coms. And Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Like, Matthew is the rom-com king, as I said earlier. Like, he just has chemistry with everyone. He's so suave. He's handsome. He's just everything you want in a movie boyfriend. And I stand by this statement. I stand by it. And J-Lo in this movie, she's amazing as well. I do have to watch her in Made in Manhattan. Everyone says that movie is so good. And then another Matthew McConaughey one that I haven't seen, but everyone also raves about, is Failure to Launch with Sarah Jessica Parker. So I'll have to watch both of those and come back to you and let you know the tea. I'll have to keep you updated. But Wedding Planner, if you don't know, it's about Mary. She gets herself into an accident. Spoiler alert, she survives. She's fine. But Steve, who is Matthew McConaughey's character, was there and basically like saves her. And it was like a whole moment. They like meet in the road. Oh my God, it was so electric. I was hooked. I was invested when I saw this. I was like, okay, give me more. Give me more. How is it possible that this is their first scene together and you could already feel the sparks flying? Like, isn't that crazy? And so after that moment, they spent like an evening together and they were like dancing and they almost kissed. And Mary like just believes that this is like the love of her life, essentially. Me. And then riddle me this. The next day, finds out that he has a fiance and she's planning their wedding. Nurse? Doctor? Is anyone there? Like, babe, what's going on? The drama of it all. This movie had it all, to be honest. Like, so good, so many great moments, especially that scene of them in the apartment. Oh my God, it was so good. I feel like there's not a lot of movies like this nowadays. I feel like a lot of the rom-coms we see is very like raunchy, a little spicy, steamy, and like, listen, love love, 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 right? Like, the girls also love a good spicy, like, romance. But I feel like in the early 2000s, it was just so, like, sweet. And you didn't need any, like, intimate scenes, you know what I mean? I feel like when you're watching them kiss, that's just, like, enough of spice. Like, it's so crazy. If they do an intimate scene in these early 2000s films, it's very much like a fade to black. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I just feel like the early 2000s was, it's giving very sweet and tame. Anyways, love this movie. The last movie I want to talk to you about is Endless Love, the 2014 version. Okay, this movie is more like romance, drama, thriller, but there is a little bit of comedy in it. This movie just gives me like butterflies. I really can't explain it, but Endless Love is about Jade, who comes from a wealthy family, and she falls in love with David, who comes from a working class family. They fall in love, but like, her father doesn't approve of him. Don't even get me started with her father. He infuriated me the entire film. And then David's dad was just so cute and sweet. I can't. And then all that drama at the end of the film, I was like, this is crazy. I was not expecting all of that to happen. Like, the car crash, the fire, you know, like, it was a lot. It really went from, this is such a cute little romance movie, to all this drama. You know what I mean? I do love Jade's mom, though. She's so cute and sweet. Jade's mom loved David, but Jade's dad was not having it at all with him. He even got a restraining order against him. I was like, okay, that's a little dramatic. I was like, are you serious? But you know what? It doesn't even matter, because they're little rebellious teens and they find a way to be together. And it's just, oh my God, it's so good. They're so in love. I remember finishing this and just wanting to rewatch it again. It was just that good. Like, I felt like this when I watched Love, Rosie too. Oh God. From the top. Alex Pettifer and Gabriella in this film is just 10 out of 10. Like, 10 out of 10. I need to see them in another film together as soon as possible. Like, their chemistry is insane. It's insane. I really don't have any notes. When they were dancing outside of her house, like, she's in the red dress, he's in the suit, and they almost kiss, and then they have another, like, dancing sequence in front of all the classmates. Oh, that was too good. And then they were in the closet. Ah! Stop. And then later on that night, they finally kiss, and it was just, like, incredible. The movie is magic. The movie is just simply magic. And then the part where they're so happy, it's like a full, like, movie montage, like, 40 minutes into the film. And then, of course, there's some drama, a lot of drama towards the end. And it's just so good. It's so good. Those are all the rom-coms I've seen recently. Let me know what other rom-coms to watch, or romantic dramas, romantic thrillers. I'm all for it. This is truly my favorite genre to watch. I don't know. There's just something, like, really sweet and lighthearted and, like, easily digestible these films are. I don't know. I'm obsessed. Just girly things. That is it. That is all I have for you today. Let me know which one out of all the ones I talked about today was your favorite. And don't forget to follow Divided with Jill on TikTok and Instagram. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye!